The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of Christ. Well, good morning to you, my friends. I don't know how you're doing after 2 months of lockdown, but I'm starting to crack a little bit. The first sign of my losing it came after I received an email from Nathan's teacher. She had noticed that Nathan hadn't handed anything in a few days and suggested that we might want to limit Nathan's screen time. Now, there was a time in my life when not handing in an assignment would have been a crime punishable by death. I was a bit of a perfectionist back in the day. And there was a time when limiting screen time would have seemed like a really important thing to do. But that was a time before I was just trying to survive day to day, having my children around 24/7. Now, I don't really have enough capacity to work with Nathan on homework for more than about half an hour, if that. And I long for him to have screen time, because then I can sit down and close my eyes for a few minutes. Please watch TV, I say to Nathan, and try to convince Logan to join you. So I pretty much cracked at the teacher's suggestion. I've cracked a couple of other times since then, nothing major, usually over some kind of mundane task. I think we're all getting a bit restless, a bit squirrely, a bit impatient. You can see some of this manifesting in these lockdown protests, certainly in the US, but also here in Canada. And I'm not opposed to the lockdown necessarily, I'm just getting, you know, tired of it. This coming week, the clergy are having a meeting with the Archbishop to discuss the protocols and procedures we will need to follow if and when we open our churches back up. For your information, the possible date for that is June 15th, a couple of weeks after Nathan's school will open up for 1 day per week instruction. I'm both excited and nervous about the prospect of opening up our churches. I wonder what we'll be allowed to do. Sing? Probably not. Take communion? Possibly, but I'm not holding my breath. Touch one another with a hug or a handshake? Almost certainly not. I mean, the rules around opening up our churches might make it so unappealing to do so that we might just decide to continue to worship online. We just have no idea what's going to happen or how this is going to work. It feels to me like we are at the end of something, but before the beginning of the something else that's coming. Now, I don't think we're at the end of the pandemic. We've been at it for a few months, but I bet we've got 15 to 20 months to go. But we are certainly past the end of whatever life we were living before the pandemic struck. I think over the last couple of months in church, we've been wondering about what kind of meaning we can make in the midst of this public health crisis, wondering about what parts of the past it would be good to leave behind and what parts we might want to work on and improve for the future. Perhaps we don't need to work so hard anymore, for example, especially in terms of running in the rat race. Maybe we could smell a few more flowers along the way. And boy, oh boy, do we need to pay attention to how we're operating long-term care homes and caring for our beloved elders. Not that we've necessarily had the disaster that's happened in other countries, but still, people before profits, am I right? The new future hasn't quite arrived yet, has it? We aren't quite sure what it will be like to conduct all our business wearing masks. We're not sure how respectful people will be in queues at the doors of stores as we try to limit the number of people in enclosed spaces. We're not sure what it will be like as the virus continues to spread among us and as our hospitals resume more and more of their normal operations, we're not sure who's going to want us to visit them and who will continue to insist that we stay away. We're not sure what we're going to do in our churches once we're allowed to gather in them. We just don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to work. So here we are, in the same place as the disciples, as the resurrected Jesus tells them that he is going away once again. Oh, sure, he's promising them an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will be with them and us, always, working for our good and for our benefit. But it's not quite Pentecost yet. The old world has gone away, it went away with the death of Jesus, and the promised new world seems exciting, risky, dangerous even, also inevitable. And we'll be fine. God will be with us in a new way, a new form, now more of a spirit than a person perhaps, but still with us. But it hasn't begun yet. We are stuck in a liminal space. Richard Rohr, and if you don't know who Richard Rohr is, you should Google him immediately, describes liminal spaces like this. It is where we are betwixt and between the familiar and the completely unknown. There alone is our old world left behind, while we are not yet sure of the new existence. That's a good space, where genuine newness can begin. Get there often and stay as long as you can by whatever means possible. This is the sacred space, where the old world is able to fall apart and a bigger world is revealed. If we don't encounter liminal space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy. The threshold is God's waiting room. Here we are taught openness and patience as we come to expect an appointment with the divine doctor. I mean, I definitely hear him say that we don't want to idealize normalcy. But if I'd known how uncomfortable it was going to be in liminal space, I would have at least appreciated that feeling of normalcy when I had it. But of course, that was just my privilege. Even in quote-unquote normal times, not everyone felt normal. That's one thing that has been revealed to us, just how stratified and divided our society was. It's both wonderful and terrifying to know that, and now have to think about how to make it better. I don't really have any further words of wisdom on this. I told you already, I cracked a couple of times in the past few weeks. My brain feels like really murky jello, and it is definitely not functioning at 100%. But I do know this. The Christian tradition has just the thing for times when one feels like this. It's the Psalms. I don't often preach on the Psalms because, frankly, even when my brain is functioning at 100%, I just don't get them. But I have this book. It's called Ancient Songs Sung Anew, The Psalms as Poetry. It's a book that was given as a gift to me by a person who I once knew, who gave it to comfort and support me in my ministry. It's a very modern and idiomatic translation of the Psalms, and I love it. I love this book. And the translation of the psalm assigned for today, Psalm 66, is beautiful. I'd like to finish up by reading it to you. Joy, O joy, fill up the world and all the peoples of the earth. Cry out the beauties of the name of God. Proclaim them all and everywhere in song. Sing out and speak to God and say, your mighty works fill us with awe, and even enemies of yours come near, and bowing low, behold your strength. And so the whole earth worships you, begins the song that lifts your name in praise. So come, draw near to see and know God's works as great, that none are left outside the circle of God's love and care. Remember all God did for those confronted by the sea. Their feet were stopped at water's edge, but then dry land appeared, and joyfully they journeyed on. Look, the eternal reign of God is strong, and all the earth and peoples everywhere are held in God's bright gaze, and none escape to set themselves apart or high. So bless our God, you peoples of the earth, and let your praise be heard by all, for it is God who holds our souls secure in life, who gives us steady feet upon the path, yet tests and tries us through the fires, like silver and as precious gold, Yes, it is God who often leads us into trappers' snares and places heavy burdens on our backs, allowing even enemies to ride and rule. And this is fire and water mixed. Yes, it is also God who draws us forth and claims us back to lead us on revived, refreshed again. So now I enter your abode, my God, and offer you this burning gift. I pay the vows that I have made and speak to you in my despair. I'll give the best of everything I am and have. Leave nothing out in all its plenitude. So come and listen as I declare all that God did for me. For when I cried my grief and pain, I spoke out using human words. I could not hide the deepest and the darkest things, or God would never heed my prayer. Yes, it is God who heard and answered back, who listened deeply to my call. So blessed be the name of God, who does not withhold great love from us or turn aside our prayers.